You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for April 17th, 2015. This week, I'm talking non-vitamin K oral antagonist, news from the FDA, the future of cardiac pacing, and electronic health records. First up is the issue of non-vitamin K oral antagonists and patient adherence. A group of researchers from Stanford, led by Dr. Mintu Turiaka, investigated dabigatran adherence in the VA system. They looked at 67 sites. They delved into the operations and specifically were interested in site-specific issues rather than patient issues. They found that dabigatran adherence really varied between sites. Low-performing sites in the low 40% range, and some sites had adherences over 90%. They also found that pharmacists were important. Pre-dispensing pharmacist selection, in other words, pharmacists evaluating the case to see whether the patient was appropriate, and then also pharmacist involvement with follow-up. Those two factors associated with better dabigatran adherence. And they published their findings in JAMA. We covered the story on HeartWire on Medscape. I wrote a column about it. I find this a really important topic because it challenges preconceived notions that NOACs are more convenient and don't need as much monitoring as warfarin. And adherence is critically important with anticoagulation, especially with NOACs. For instance, with warfarin, everyone involved knows the patient is taking it. I know, the doctor knows, the patient knows, because we measure its effect. But with NOAC, since we don't measure its effect, we don't really know. And this comes up a lot with cardioversion and with AF ablation, but also just simple efficacy and safety turns on adherence. So I'd encourage you to take a look at this, think about what we think about NOAC follow-up and intensity of monitorings. So the next topic I want to talk about is FDA news. This was a big week for the FDA. First up is that the new drug from Amgen, ivabradine, was given FDA approval. This is a drug that affects heart rate by changing ion currents in the sinus node. The drug is now indicated for the prevention or the lowering of heart failure hospitalizations in patients with systolic heart failure class 2 to 4, low ejection fraction, and heart rate greater than 70 on maximal beta blocker therapy. Keep in mind that the ivabradine has been available in Europe for both the indication heart failure and stable angina. It's been controversial. The European regulators put out a statement last year in which they were worried about a large subgroup analysis of the Signify trial that showed a potential increase or small but significant increase in cardiovascular death and non-fatal MI, and also a much higher incidence of bradycardia. The FDA noted potential side effects of ivabradine, which includes bradycardia, hypertension, atrial fibrillation. I really hope the cardiology community takes a cautious approach to this drug. I worry about polypharmacy. I worry about incremental value. Many of these patients are on multiple medications, sometimes more than a page of medications. So we'll have to see how this new drug works out and plays out. In a second set of FDA news, a advisory committee weighed in on cangrelor. Cangrelor is a rapid-onset, rapid-offset IV antiplatelet agent. The advisory committee recommended that the FDA approve this for the use in PCI to prevent periprocedural thrombotic events. I talked to two of my interventional colleagues about this, and both times, both conversations, what came up is that dangerous period or period that people worry about after PCI where antithrombotic agents are wearing off and antiplatelet effects haven't, antiplatelet drugs that were given haven't quite taken effect. So a window of concern, potentially there's some value in selected patients. Again, the FDA hasn't weighed in on this. This was just an advisory committee. The final piece of news I find really interesting, it's on diabetes. A majority of committee members recommended a change in labeling of two diabetes drugs, DPP-4S drugs, saxagliptin and alogliptin. The warning was for heart failure, increased incidence of heart failure. I mention this piece of news because it's very interesting to me that in diabetes we're interested in glycemic control because the idea of good glucose control would likely help prevent complications, cardiovascular complications being one of those effects. But here is the potential that the drugs that improve glycemic control may actually increase the risk of heart failure, and it seems counterintuitive. I went back and looked at some of the studies I found in the New England Journal of Medicine study on saxagliptin, and in the conclusion statement it says, quote, although this drug improves glycemic control, quote, other measures will be needed to improve cardiovascular complications. I wonder whether other measures might be exercise and diet. Now, let's move on to the future of cardiac pacing. This week, Medtronic announced that European physicians now have two choices of wireless, leadless pacemakers. Their Medtronic pacemaker, the Micra, received CE mark approval in Europe. This was based on a big trial of their leadless pacemakers. Dr. Ritter from Bordeaux was noted saying that he's going to present this data at Heart Rhythm Society on 60 patients who have received this device. And this is huge news. It's a glimpse into the future. I imagine cardiac pacing, the future will be the same as the digital age, wireless, cutting the cord. Think about this. No lead, no Achilles heel between the generator and the lead. I did a report from last year's CardioStim on some interesting abstracts that looked at wireless devices that made ultrasonic communication with subcutaneous devices. You can see the future of potential PaceSense lead that's wireless and a subcutaneous generator that's wireless and making contact, and therefore you don't need the defibrillator lead, which is the weak link. Another interesting aspect of this story to think about is what about electrophysiologists? What are we going to do if the future of cardiac pacing is that these things can be put in through ephemeral vein? Pretty much anybody, any cardiologist can put in pacemakers. So just something to think about there. And finally, news out of the HIMSS meeting, which is Healthcare Information Management Society meeting in Chicago, was an Accenture survey released Monday looking at the number of physicians who believe electronic healthcare records are useful has gone down. I know you find that surprising that more and more doctors think electronic records are not helpful. But an interesting thing I'll bring out about that survey was that 80% of doctors feel like I do, that electronic health records could be helpful. They really could be, but I don't know. I actually think 46% is way overestimation because I don't know any doctor who believes that current-day electronic health systems, the popular ones, are useful. In fact, I think it's getting worse. I'd just be blunt, and I think it's horrible where we are with electronic health records. The number of clicks are increased. We're distracted by these systems. They take up important time, and they're basically just a billing device. And if I was a healthcare policy person, this would be high on my list of things to fix because not only is it horrible now, but there's so much potential for things to improve And one of the findings from this study was that patients who, most doctors felt that if patients were involved with their electronic health records, they'd be more engaged in their health care, which is surely a good thing. So let's just get this out there and keep beating this drum on how bad electronic health records are at the current time. So that's it for this week in cardiology. I'll link those stories below. And until next week, this is John Mandrola for theheart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.